What an exciting night. We are the group of people that when John and Julie's ministry take off and they're healing the sick and leading people to Jesus, that we can say we were there for the first service. I'm serious. I know I'm sarcastic at times, but there's not a hint of that right now. You know, it's exciting. Julie has been one of the most faithful people that, you know, she's a pastor's dream, you know, so faithful, just willing to do whatever. And, you know, it's been an honor to be her pastor and to see her grow in God and to see what's on her heart and all the things that God has for her. God's done miracles in her life, you know, and she's just hungry for him. And so I'll tell you what, you are in for a treat tonight. This isn't just, you know, go through the motions to get people trained and into ministry and sent out into the field. This is time for our feeding. I've been looking forward to it all week and sending her messages every once in a while. I'm excited for tonight. I'm coming ready. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave here changed. Because the same word that I would preach, the same word that the Apostle Paul would preach, the same word that Jesus would preach is the same word that Julie's going to preach tonight. And so if we're hungry, we'll leave here blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's give her a warm family church welcome. Come on up, Julie. Hallelujah. Obey God and give him heaven. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Well, good evening. I'm so excited to be with you all tonight, and quite honestly, naturally, I just love my pastor, and I would just love to sit in the pew and watch him preach, and that would be perfect for me. But I'm excited to be up here because I know God, and I know the things that he's done for me. I've seen him, I've experienced him, and I can't hold back the joy that's in my heart to just be up. What an honor just to be up here and just to share some of the things that I know, some of the revelations that I have, and this is just the very beginning, but I'm so honored. So Pastor Mike, thank you so very much. So when I was preparing this message, I had like a starting place for days and days and days. And I'm like, could you please just show me what's next? But so we are going to start with the parable of the talents. But before we do, if you would just bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we just thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the people that came out to hear it. Father, I just trust you. I know that you have a plan and purpose for this service. And I thank you that you use my mouth and you use the faith in this room, that your power goes forth, that your word goes forth and has free course. And Father, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for utterance. I thank you that you know every single person in this room and what they need tonight. And I thank you that you hit bullseyes in their hearts. We thank you that your will is done in this service. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So without further ado, if you would turn to Matthew 25. And we are going to start in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven, this is interesting, right? This is Jesus talking to his disciples about the kingdom of heaven. And it's just a parable. It's a story. But there's things for us to pull out of it. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so that he had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And when I read these words, it just goes off in me, thou good and faithful servant. And I was just thinking about, I want those words surrounding me, like good and faithful. And I was just thinking about like, okay, well, how do you even categorize that? What's even good anyways? And this is hilarious because the first thing that came to me was a hunting analogy. So I never thought that it would happen, but here it is. You know, I'm a teacher, so I hear a lot of high school students and they're talking about their hunting experience and they're so excited to get out in the woods. And then I hear what I would call good hunters, skillful hunters, and they don't sound the same. I don't know if it's just me or maybe this is just my perception, but at school, maybe with some unlearned, not skillful hunters, I hear the words, if it's brown, it's down. If it's brown, it's down. Like, guard your dogs, guard your horses, guard your cows. If it's brown, it's down. And I think, oh, holy. And then you listen to like a skillful hunter and they go in the woods with a mission and they're waiting for the right opportunity. And the unskillful hunter just bang, 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 just kind of haphazard. Like, we're going in there. We're going to do this thing. It's casual. They don't even put a lot of preparation into it versus the skillful hunter that makes the ethical shot, that cares about the quality of weapon that they use. And they care about the, you know, it's just so different, the good and skillful in anything that you're applying it to. And I was thinking about the differences. Is it just accuracy? Because obviously a good hunter would be more accurate, but it's not. It's even the attitude behind the hunter. It's the way that the hunter thinks. How much more with this? How much more when we're thinking about the kingdom of God and who we are? It matters how we think even more than it matters those outward actions. It's what's behind it. And that's really what we're going to dive into today, talking about the good and the faithful servant. So it says, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord." And the good and faithful servant, that's the honorable servant. And we can never take the honor out of that, because honor is the very thing that allows us to enter in to God's promises. And yeah, if you look it up in the Amplified, it talks about good being the upright, the honorable, the admirable. And we know that those, the upright, the honorable, those are the skillful. Because even if they came in unlearned, unskilled, they'll walk through the steps to be skilled because they care about being a good and faithful servant. You know, faithfulness is steadfast. Faithful people are dedicated. Faithful people are dependable, worthy of trust, and loyal. And it's just so much of an honor to stand up here in front of you, because as I look out at all your faces, these are the people that I've served alongside for the last however many years. And it's just so exciting because all of us have that in us, obviously, like the good and faithful, but we each can come higher. And that's what I'm excited about. So he also, verse 22, "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Entering into God's provision, God's promises, God's blessings, it's so good. "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where you hath not sown, gathering where you have not strawed." I'm just going to stop here. So anytime this critical attitude comes up, this was the servant's master. You're a hard man. He's justifying in his mind, why I don't have to do the honorable thing for you. I don't have to be honorable. You're not even a good master, so I don't have. So he's relieving himself of that responsibility. We all have to watch ourselves, and honor is the very thing that'll protect us from that critical attitude. Honor is like a force field of protection, and we don't see it like that. When I tell my kids, and trust me, I've said the words a lot, you are going to be honorable to your mother, they're like, oh, I hate that word. I'm like, well, you better stop hating it. And that's the truth. They hear that word so much. But if they came to really understand that honor is a force field, it keeps you right. It keeps your heart right. It keeps your mind right. And it keeps you thinking right. And people that walk out of honor, if they really dishonor God or dishonor people, they're setting themselves up. So moving on. And verse number 25. And I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. So he just gave him back. Here's your talent. You gave it to me. I hid it. I didn't lose it. Here it is. You can have it. And we see through this story, Jesus speaking, what he thought of that. Because first of all, he was afraid. Do you think the people that placed honor as their priority, that they yielded to fear? Or do you think that they cared about what was right more than they cared about being afraid? So he yielded to fear, he hid his talent, and now we see the master's response. Verse number 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. In the Amplified it says, you wicked and lazy and idle servant. See, the master expected something from him, and he did nothing with it. Verse number 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. With little effort, he could have just connected to the right people, and the master would have earned interest on it, but he didn't, because he didn't honor. 28, take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which has 10 talents. This is true all the time. The faithful servant is the one that will be overcome with abundance because he can be trusted. He's trustworthy. He's loyal. He's dependent. He's steadfast. The master knows that he can trust him, and it shows up in the servant's life. It not only blesses the master, it blesses the servant. Verse number 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. If we don't honor something, we're just saying, well, that's okay if I lose it. It's okay if I lose it. And I just think about this house of God. This house of God. I am going to bring my honor to this place every single day of my life because I care. And I know the very house of God, that God has touched, reached me through the pastor that has taught me, encouraged me, strengthened me, fed me the word. This is such a special place, and I just never want to take it for granted. And I just love this parable. There's just so many things that we can get out of it. But, you know, I've heard this parable preached, and they were talking about money, being a good steward of your money, and that can be true. Maybe Jesus was referring to money because in that day, a talent was a weight, a measure of money of 75 pounds of gold or silver. Okay. Yeah, and it's good, even if that's all it was about. But maybe it's about a talent, a gift and a talent, a God-given talent, and how we're using them on the earth. And if it is about that, then praise God, that's amazing. But it was on my heart that it wasn't just talking about our natural gifts and talents, but he's talking about the inheritance that he's given us. Because God has given us, each and every one of us, every person that's saved, an inheritance. And it's up to us to honor the inheritance. So that is the message title, Honoring Our Inheritance. So once I received a natural inheritance, and I wish it were for more, but it was a blessing. So how it happened is somebody called me and they told me about it. There's an inheritance. And I was like, wow, cool. I didn't even know that. Okay, thanks. And then they sent me the paperwork on it. So now I see in writing what belongs to me. What a person, not money that I earned, but what someone in my life wanted me to have and blessed me with it. And I saw it in writing. But it didn't really help me until I learned how to draw on it. So I had to learn how to draw on my inheritance and how to live out of my inheritance in order for it to bless me. So that's what we're talking about in the Word. We need to know our inheritance and really know it. And we need to learn to walk in our inheritance in order to walk in the blessings of it. So point number one is to honor our inheritance, we must know our inheritance. And you know, it would take years, literally years, to really study and to hear this preach about everything that our Father has given us, because it's rich. And how can our minds even comprehend it? Some things we won't even comprehend on this earth. It'll take us getting to heaven. But I wanted to just go to Ephesians and just talk about some of the revelation and light that's in that book. Ephesians 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is a scripture that sometimes I just sit at home and meditate on. Okay, I've already been blessed. He's already given me every single spiritual blessing that heaven is enjoying right now. And at certain times in my life, I was thinking, there's no strife in heaven. There's no pressure or oppression in heaven. And if God gave this spiritual blessing to me, then I'm going to live in it right now, right in the midst of all these circumstances. I'm going to live in the peace that He told me that's mine. I'm going to live in the love that He poured out on me. I'm going to live in His love. I'm going to live according to His glory. I'm going to live healthy in my body and not sick a day in my life. If you really think about what they're enjoying in heaven, how many blessings they're enjoying in heaven, and then you start to think, He's already made it mine. I just have to learn how to draw on this. I just have to learn how to walk in this. How amazing. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him. In Him. He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So because of His will, because of His goodness, we're sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Is there anything better? That allows us just to walk into everything that John was just talking about. I know how much I love my children. I know the lengths that I would go, the sacrifices that I would make, the provision that I would be willing to give to them. How much more my Heavenly Father? How amazing. Glory to God. Verse 6. To the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We have salvation and redemption. And if that were it, if that were all it was, thank You, Father, for that. Verse 8, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. This is our inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. This is just so amazing to me. As we call on the name of Jesus, as we believe in Him, do we understand what He's giving us? And then we live our lives, and we actually are, we are the praise of His glory. How amazing. Let's jump down to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory gives unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants us to know it. And here it is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards usward who believe? We could spend a lifetime trying to figure out the exceeding greatness of his power, but he wants us to have it. He's sending it toward us. And we just have to learn, be skillful, how to take it, how to use it. What do you want for us? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the one that's to come. Jesus is above it all, above all of it. And hath put things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that's all in all. So we are now a part of the body of Christ. How amazing. Just one more quick thing. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the Father set Jesus above it all, above every name that is named, and then he set us right there with him, part of his body. This is our inheritance. We need to live like this is our inheritance. Point number two, we must walk in his inheritance by honoring his word. This is how we draw on it. This is how we live in the revelation of what is ours. And the fullness of his word manifests in our life. Ephesians 2, 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. And he's already laid it out. He's already laid out the most blessed life we could ever have. Yeah. It's just so amazing. And he says, you should walk in them. Yeah. So in case anybody's confused, you should walk in them, yeah. Right? He just tells us, hey, I did this so that you'd walk in it. And you know, recently I was speaking to somebody, and somebody that knows kind of my testimony and some of the blessings that John and I have walked into recently. And they just said, you know, I made the decision to obey God. And it's been so hard. And when they said that, they weren't complaining. That wasn't their point. But they were just talking about some trials that had come up in their life since making a decision that they knew that God was telling them to do. And it just kind of set a ping in my spirit. Like, okay. And, you know, I love that person, so I'm not judging them. They had the right heart in saying it, and they were really just looking for a testimony of this is what's on the other side. But I was thinking, isn't it just like the devil to try to convince somebody that when you walk out God's plan, your life gets hard? If we take those thoughts, I obeyed God, and now my life is hard, have you ever disobeyed God? Because let me tell you, that's the hard life. And be not deceived about it, because I feel like that's such a thought, like, yeah, you did that, and look how this is turning out for you. No, no, no. We have no idea what he's spared us from. As we walk in our obedience, do we face trials? Of course we do, but what has he protected us from, and what is he bringing us into? It's so amazing. So we just need to honor his word in order to walk out the things that he has for us. Sorry. So the word teaches us that we are partakers with Christ. This is so exciting to me. We are partakers with Christ. So if you turn to me, Hebrews chapter 3. We are partakers with Christ. Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, here we are, this is us, partakers of his calling. If you jump down to verse 14, for we are made partakers with Christ. But what he's talking about, he's telling us you've been made partakers of Christ, but he's also talking about people that were offered an inheritance that lost it. And so I just wanted to look at this. Look at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And I was thinking to myself, what's the provocation? So you read on in the day of temptation in the wilderness. What he's talking about is when Moses was trying to lead the Israelites into the promised land. You have to understand how far back this goes. It goes back to Genesis. From the moment that Abram came on the scene, he said, I have a land for you. And then fast forward, we see Moses and he encounters the burning bush. And one of the first things he finds out is about the promised land. So this should be in these Israelites. I have a land for you. There is a land flowing with milk and honey. It is for you. This is your inheritance. God's word is going into them literally for generations. Okay. Well, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to turn there. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 14. This is how the Israelites are acting when they've spied out the land. They see that it is the land that's flowing with milk and honey, and there are giants in it. And they say, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we have died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath God brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be prey? That is the provocation. They had a word, a promise from heaven, and this is how they're acting? They had no honor for what God said. And that's why they had no belief. They could not put their faith in what God said because they didn't honor his word. And it kept them out. And this is what this is talking about right here. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. God gives us his word, and we can never let go of it. If we don't honor his word, we don't even have the capacity to believe it. We don't even have the capacity for faith, let alone using our faith, right? So we are going to, verse 19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. So the lack of honor was directly linked to their unbelief, and their unbelief is what kept them out. So I want us to always honor him and honor our position in him. And with the word, with honoring the word, that's how we're going to honor him. Point number 3, our inheritance isn't just to change our lives. It's to change the world. 1 Corinthians 3:19 or 3:9 tells us that we're co-laborers. For we are laborers together with God. He didn't just give us the blessed life so that we could live in a nice house and drive nice vehicles and train up our children right and have right relationships with people and walk in love. And all of those blessings are amazing. But he did it also so that we could be a blessing to others. We are co-laborers together with God. If we turn to Ephesians 4:8. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. The first thing that he did When he died on the cross, he went to hell. He ascended into heaven, and the first thing that he did is gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When I look at that, I can see that he gave those gifts. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. So once Pastor Mike or whoever is ministering up here pours into you, it's to build you up, to edify you. Why? Because you have a purpose. He pours into you, and look what your responsibility is for the work of the ministry. It's not the fivefold minister's job alone that is doing the work of the ministry, but all the sheep that those gifts are poured out to the people so the people can pour out to those that they know and interact with. We're to be a light and a witness to the world. And as we do the work of the ministry, it edifies the body of Christ, and that's what it's all about. When we honor our inheritance, we're sharing our inheritance with the world and being co-laborers with him. Our inheritance in him is not for us to keep. It's for us to share. We are to be good and faithful in doing the work of the ministry. There's people that we encounter, that we interact every day. Are we showing them our inheritance? Are we telling them that they can have an inheritance? Or are we shutting them off? We need to look at ourselves, because we want, if Jesus was comparing the kingdom of heaven is like this, how you're honoring your inheritance, I want him to say, thou good and faithful child. Let's look at Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. We all know how we got saved. Let's look at verse 13. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, for how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings to good things. The preachers aren't just the pastors. The preachers aren't just the apostles. The preacher is anybody that will use their mouth to proclaim Jesus is Lord. It's us. It's us. And it's our inheritance, not only for us, but our inheritance to share. To honor our inheritance, we must take the time to know our inheritance. To honor our inheritance, we must learn to be skillful in walking in it and honor his word above anything else. To honor our inheritance, it's not just to change our lives, but it's how we use our lives to impact the lives of others. If you could just bow your heads and pray with me. Father, I thank you so much for this word. I thank you that your word goes forth and it changes our hearts, that you bring things up to us, that you have for us. Show us, Lord, even more our inheritance and what you've given unto us and what your plans and purposes are, Father. We just thank you for your word and for your spirit in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Were you blessed? I was blessed. I'll tell you what, I just seeing, you know, John and Julie and ministering and where they're starting, I'm just thrilled to see where this is going to go. And you can just see it in them, their heart for the things of God, their love for the word. And I'll tell you what, many people are going to be blessed because of that ministry. And something that she said that was just, you know, I said I was going to get something specific, you know, and I knew that I was, because the word was going forth, and I believe that, you know. And talking about honoring God's word, you know how many people are so casual with his word? And you know, I'm guessing that the paperwork that you got for that inheritance, You weren't casual with that paperwork, just leaving it lay around anywhere, you know. If you got paperwork, you know, and all you had to do to fill it out and be careful with that paperwork and send it back to get your money, how many of you know you're going to be careful with that paperwork? You're going to honor that paperwork. It's not just going to be, and just the thought of honoring the word of God. And what does that mean? When God says to you, by his stripes you're healed and you're sick, what's your attitude towards that? That is your inheritance from him telling you, I want this for you. Praise God. And so I was just thinking for my own self, to tell my own self, you know, the words that have gone forth before me from the prophets. You know, the Bible says that Paul told Timothy, he said, wage a good warfare by the prophecies that went before you. And in the Old Testament it says to believe the words of the prophets and you'll prosper. And, you know, there's times that we're ministered to, and of course, we don't just take what anybody says to us. It's got a number one line up with the word, but it also has to bear witness with our own spirit. But I think about over the years, you know, and the things that God has spoken to me through the prophets and different things that line up with the Bible, line up with my own spirit, and maybe putting those on the shelf or just kind of being casual with those things. Well, tonight, I'll tell you what, it stirred me to pick those back up. That was an inheritance from the Father. That was a blessing from the Father that he's trying to get me into. And you know, when God told the children of Israel, this land is your land, he expected them to do something with that word. And only two people did the right thing, right? Would grabbed onto it, honored it, and said, we can have it. And we see that people that, just like she talked about, the parable of the talents, if you don't do the right thing with what God has given you, it'll be taken away from you and you'll be less. And so I just encourage you, come on, find out what that inheritance is that he has for you, praise God, and get it in you and put it in your mouth and start believing for it, amen. Well, real quick, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, we're going to go ahead and give people an opportunity to receive Jesus. And I know that as I look around this room, I know we're in a company of believers here tonight, that we've all received Jesus. We're all heaven bound. I know that. But there might be somebody watching online right now. And if you're watching by live stream, we just encourage you to bow your heads with us. And I want to give you an invitation. You know, the Bible tells us how to get to heaven. And it has nothing to do with church attendance, good or bad, or how good or bad of a person you were, how charitable or how cheap you've been. It has nothing to do with that. It's what you do with Jesus. And you know, if you're watching by live stream and you say this to yourself, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if today were my last day on planet Earth. I'll tell you, it is peaceful to lay my head down on my pillow and know that I am born again, that I am saved, that I'm a child of God, that heaven is my final destination. And so if you're watching, you say, I don't know that I would go to heaven. Well, I want to tell you the Bible way to receive salvation and get to go to heaven. And again, we're just going by the word. And feel free to get a hold of me if you're confused by this or if you've been told something different. I'll just point you in the direction of the Bible and we'll look at that together. But God loves you so much that he gave Jesus. And in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if you would just believe on him, it would not perish. And Julie mentioned about calling on the Lord and being saved. And if you're watching and you say, I've never received Jesus, I don't know how to get into the family of God, it starts with Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, when this service is over, get alone with him and just cry out to him. Just sound something like this: Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that, God will do his part. And I encourage you, please get a hold of me. Email me, give me a phone call. I'll show you in the word where it says that, and then get you started to walk into this inheritance. That's one thing you can't receive, is the inheritance of God without being in his family. You know, I'm only obligated to my children, you know, and I'm not obligated to everybody's kid in Walmart or everybody's kid that I see drive by me on the road. God's obligated to his children. And the Bible says, to as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. So we want to help you with that. Amen. Can we just praise him real quick before we close the service? Father, thank you. Thank you for this word tonight, Father. Thank you for John and Julie and what you're doing in them, Father. The anointings and the gifts that are on their lives and this platform and this opportunity to minister and to be trained up. Father, we know your plan is great for them. And Father, thank you for what we received tonight. It was so rich. It was so good. And Father, I'm different. And I repent, Father, for the times that I have not honored your word the way that I should have, that I have not, taken it and received it and done everything that I need to do to get the most out of that. And so, Father, I thank you for change tonight. Thank you, we're going in a new direction. And Father, we love you and we praise you and give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, I just want to say love and appreciate you. There is midweek service this week in South Dayton. I know that's a little bit of a drive, but of course we do have live stream. Next week, John's going to be ministering. And so you're doing the offering, right, Julie, next week? So they're going to flip-flop, and I'm just going to take a break again and just sit there and receive, you know, and just do nothing but pray and get ready for the South Dayton service to minister, I guess. But we're blessed to be able to be a part of their journey and to help them. So your homework this week is to be already believing God for utterance out of both of their mouths. You know, when you pray, remember them, that Father, I thank you, give Julie utterance in the offering, you'll give John utterance in the message, and Father, I thank you that I'm going to receive something that service. You're going to say something through them that's going to leave me different and leave me changed. I'm already starting to say it. It happened for me tonight, and I'll tell you what, it's going to happen for me next week. Amen. Well, we love you, appreciate you. We'll see you all next Saturday. You are dismissed.